heaven is the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of the tabernacle. Because the writer of Hebrews tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ has not entered into a tabernacle made with hands, which is a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. But in another sense, we are the tabernacle or the temple of God. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Our bodies are the temple of God. Now, I want you to follow me now. Do you know what had to occupy the most holy place before any sacrifice could be made on the altar? I want someone to tell me. What had to be placed in the most holy place before any sacrifices were offered? Someone answer that. Young or old? Well, yes, but I'm talking about a piece of furniture now. What had to occupy that most holy place? The boy on the back row. I can read your mind. I know you. Pardon? You're thinking of the Ark of the Covenant, aren't you? You're thinking of the Ark of the Covenant, aren't you? All right, that Ark of the Covenant speaks of whom? Of whom does it speak? That's right, but the Ark speaks of, my, maybe we better get back to some basics here. It speaks of Christ. Now, the point I'm making, boys and girls, is that before any sacrifices could be offered by the priests out in the public place upon the brazen altar, before any incense could be offered upon the golden altar in the holy place, before any bread would be offered upon the show table in the holy place, the Ark of the Covenant had to occupy its place in the most holy room. Now, Paul must have had this in mind. For example, he wrote in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, in thinking of the tabernacle and the temple, it was in three parts. You remember that, don't you? There was a public place. Anyone could go there. There was the holy place. Only the priest could go there. There was the most holy place. Only the high priest could go there but once a year. Three areas of the tabernacle and the temple. There are three parts to us, body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. But before that is acceptable to God, the Lord Jesus Christ must rule and reign from within. You understand what I'm saying? That is, the Lord must have the heart. And when he has the heart, he has the rest of us.
They said the table of the Lord is unimportant. Let's just don't worry a whole lot about it. Let's just go ahead and offer on the altar the lame, the blind, the maimed. What difference does it make? It's worthless. Doesn't amount to anything anyway. Do we consider God worthy of our best? And I told you I would not go over tonight. Now, let me close with this. and we can't take time to turn to all the scriptures. But as Christians, we are priests. Men and women, all believers, we are priests. And Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 2. We are a holy priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy priesthood to minister to the Lord. We are a royal priesthood to minister to people. And all of us as Christians are priests. We are a holy priesthood. Just a matter of days ago, I went to the Alamance Regional Hospital early one morning because a 17-year-old boy, Chad Tabor, was going to have his nose operated on. Sometime back, he fell on a bicycle, broke his nose, and he had difficulty breathing, so they had to go in and actually rebreathe the nose and cut some of them along the way. And early that morning, I was reading some of the qualifications of a priest. And I said to Jed, when we met together in the hospital, I said, Jed, and I read the scripture, I said, now, this is Deuteronomy 23, that if a priest has a flat nose, he's disqualified. So he would not be able to smell and discern in the sacrament. I said, Jed, you know, in the Old Testament days, he would be disqualified. He would not be able to offer his sacrifice. I said, but you're a priest. And as a priest, you are a priest, broken nose and all. And I said, you're to offer your body for this sacrifice. He said, I know. And I said, that's good testimony. But now, we are priests as Christians. Do you realize that there are three places in Scripture where we read that we are to offer sacrifice? Maybe some of you older ones do that. Maybe some of you younger ones know that as well. I've already given you one verse, but let's turn to these three, and then we're going to close. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now you have to consider what the Apostle Paul has said up to this point. That we were condemned, we were sinners on our way to a lost eternity, but God proved his love for us, he gave his son to die for us, and he raised him from the dead. A proof that what Christ accomplished on the cross was acceptable by God to deal with sin once and for all. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous in Christ. So Paul had said before, there's none righteous, no, not one. Yet when we receive Christ, we are declared righteous because God gives us his righteousness. And because we have God's righteousness, because we receive Christ, we are in the family of God forever. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, there is nothing, no one, or nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. And in Romans chapter 8, he says, we're already sanctified in the mind and purpose of God in the finished deed. After saying all of that, now he says in chapter 12, and maybe he was thinking about that altar. Maybe he was thinking about the Ark of the Covenant being in its proper place before sacrifice was made. But now he says to the people of that day through the Word and to us through the Word, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren or Christians, by the mercies of God, that ye present, that is, that ye offer your bodies a living sacrifice. sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your intelligent service. So as priests, as Christians, and as priests, we are to offer our persons. Giving myself to the Lord, committed to Him, I dedicate, He consecrates. So now as a Christian, as a priest, I'm offering my body as a living sacrifice. Turn to Hebrews 13. Very quickly, I want to keep my promise. I said I would only, if I went over, it would just be a couple of minutes. Hebrews 13. Verse 15, by Him therefore let us, we believers, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We are not only to offer our persons, we are to offer our praise. Boy, this has to do with thinking about who the Lord is and thinking on His name and my relationship to the Lord. Praise. One other scripture. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. But I have all and abound, said Paul. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, the Christians sent a gift to Paul, and Paul speaks of it this way, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That is, they gave up their possessions for the work of the ministry. So as Christians, as priests, we are to offer our persons, we are to offer our prayers, and we are to offer our possessions. We belong to the Lord. Let me close with this. Fellas and girls, you remember the story of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary? What happened to Lazarus? What happened to Lazarus?
Jesus raised from the dead.
You know what the Pharisees wanted to do? They said, we need to put him to death again. Yeah.
To get rid of the evidence. Too many people are believing on Jesus. You better get rid of that. That's what they wanted to do.
Now, in John chapter 12, it was Mary who brought the alabaster box of ointment, very costly. We are told it would cost about a year's wage. And she poured that on the feet of the Lord Jesus. There was Judas there who said, why this waste? Look at this waste. All of that money being wasted. The Lord Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my... What's the word? Against the day of my burial, hath she kept this. You know, when I was reading that some time ago, I thought, why didn't she give it to her brother when he died? Surely she loved him. But she didn't give that ointment to her brother. No, the Lord said, she has been saving this in view of my death. Well, that made me ask, well, why didn't she save it for his death? Why did she go ahead and give it to him then? I think she learned some lessons. I think she learned, well, if he's going to be worthy then, he's worthy now. I'll just give it to him now. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Young people, older people, we who name the name of our Lord Jesus Christ are to realize that He is worthy. What we are and what we have all belong to
dedicated and committed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Never be ashamed. Let's think He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord. Young people, I want to thank you for your attention. For someone who's been so long and so heavy and saying some things that maybe you didn't even understand, you've been very patient. Thank you so very much. Shall we pray? Father, we think of those priests of Malachi's day who were just going through the motions. And Father, we have to confess we can relate to that. Help us, Father, to spend time in Thy presence, to get our priorities right, and to have the thinking afresh that we serve the Lord Christ. May it be so, for His name's sake. Amen.